Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who thought he didn't need a belt today. And he was wrong. He does need a belt today. It's Richard Herring! Welcome to Richard's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was in Castle Grayskull the other day. I was talking to whatever He-Man's cat is called. What's that cat called? Too young, isn't it? Battlecat. That's when he's changed. Cringer, that's what I was thinking of Swiper No Swiping, that's what, because I've got confused with Dora the Explorer. The problem with me is my knowledge of children's television spans many decades, as we're about to find out today. Anyway, Cringer. And I only came by that because I have a routine about Skeletor coming up. He calls it Rehalastopak. He's scared. As we're recording this, Valentine's Day has just gone by, which means St. Skeletor's Day has also gone by. That's why I thought I was thinking of Castle Grayskull. You may know if you follow my work that on the first Valentine's Day I shared with my wife 11 Valentine's Days ago, I bought her a single Ferrero Rocher chocolate so she could build a Ferrero Rocher pyramid. But then foolishly, I kind of doubled that year by year. So this year, I was down to buy my wife 1,024 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. But my wife now hates Ferrero Rocher chocolates as a direct result of what I've done. Never wants to see another one again, because A, I buy them for every Valentine's Day, and also everyone thinks she really likes them. So that she gets them as loads of presents. She never really liked them. And then I managed to find a video online of like maggots hatching in some Ferrero Rochers. And I've managed, it's sort of like a bit like Clockwork Orange. I've managed to put her off. So I'm off the hook, which is lucky. No, I never predicted that. St. Skeletor's Day is the day. And this is quite interesting. I invented St. Skeletor's Day. It's the day for the opposite of love. It's for the destruction of love, the 15th of February. And I invented that. But it's actually now on Twitter. You'll go on there and people are talking about it and they don't know who started it. So I think it could be the comic creation I've made that will last the longest. That, like, in 100 years' time, people will have forgotten who Skeletor was and won't know that I originated the day, but will still be celebrating St. Skeletor's Day, which is very exciting. And if you are on Twitter and it's St. Skeletor's Day and you want to know the correct joke you should be making to me on that day, it is, of course, when's International He-Man's Day. That is the... No one's got it, but that is the correct joke to do to me. You want to make the Twitter joke. Because that's this episode is going out first on the 7th of March, which is the day before International Women's Day, where I have a very busy day. I've deliberately not put a gig in this year. Because I have to go on Twitter, if you don't know, and I search for men, usually asking when's International Men's Day. I also have to search for when's International Man's Day and all the different apostrophes that you can possibly get within that. And National Men's Day, National Men's Day. It takes me all day, and I respond to each of them, it's November the 19th, which it is. I think we may talk about this a little bit more. So I'm hoping to do it this year. And if you enjoy me doing this on Twitter this year, we're going to set up a page to where you can sponsor me for doing it this year. And all money will go to Refuge, which would be quite nice. Because, you know, it would be nice to turn some idiot men's actions into hard, cold cash for a fantastic cause. So do look out for that. But anyway, I promised that I would write opening monologues, didn't I, last week, if you're here last week and the week before. And couldn't be bothered. So I tried to do it last week, and then I had it on my phone, and my phone, it crashed, so I couldn't even read it out. It was a shame, I'd written a really good one. But, you know, New Year's resolutions you make in February don't always work out. So let's crack on, Richard. Okay, thank you. I was going to talk about Andy from Andy's Dinosaur Adventures. Maybe I'll leave that till next week. He's a cunt. So that's pretty much. Our guests this week, I've got two guests this week, and they're probably best known from their 60-second appearance on Comedy Rush at the Shaftesbury Theatre. That's why we're all here, to see them recreate those 60 seconds. Will you please welcome Trev and Simon, ladies and gentlemen?
Welcome. Sit down.
Thank you very much for coming. Oh. Welcome to the show. You're my favourite 90s double act.
Thank you.
Who are still working together. So it's...
you know, when we were standing back there, Trev just said, you were doing your stuff, and Trev said to me, we're a bit like He-Man and Skeletor. But the only reason to say that is if you think you're like He-Man. No one says it thinking they're like Skeletor.
I'd rather be Skeletor. He's more fun, isn't he?
He is more fun.
Yeah, but he's also a withered skeleton.
Well, I didn't like to say anything. It's like a bit like two Skeletors is your double act.
Oh, and that makes it even worse, because He-Man was the funny one.
Skeletor was funny. He was pretty good. I'd like to be Skeletor if I could lose the weight. So maybe one day I'll be a skeleton. Let's all hope for that. Do you remember your appearance on 60s on Comedy Rush, which I think was... What did you do in your 60 seconds that you had?
We did... Now, the thing is, we had something worked out that lasted 60 seconds, obviously. But also, the microphones broke.
Okay.
So during our 60 seconds, it just didn't work. Because it relied on you saying...
Moon Monkey. You did a magic trick. No, it was the egg magic trick.
As Moon Monkey. Moon Monkey was like a creation of ours, and it was basically...
what's it into the Moon Monkey?
It was me in a Lycra one-piece bodysuit that I used to have when I was skeletal.
Yeah.
When I was really skinny on Saturday morning TV, and then I wore it as a big fat man on this 60 seconds thing.
I don't remember that at all, but it's good that you mentioned suit, because we can all think of you in that suit again now.
You probably blanked that out by the sound.
I've got it on underneath.
Now you sit in the right order, don't you? That's what you were talking about. Because backstage, when we did our backstage interview, you sat the wrong way around. You're so... I mean, even more than Ant and Dec, you're so much Trevor and Simon that if you weren't sitting in the right order, I might find it difficult to remember who was who.
The reason we sit in this order is years and years back, we were on a TV show that Jonathan Ross hosted called It's Only TV, But I Like It. It was a quiz show. And one of the team captains was Julian Clary, And the, who was the other team captain? I can't remember now.
I don't remember.
Jack D.
And Julian Clary did this whole thing of going like, just dismissively going like, oh, I don't know which is which. And it really annoyed me.
Not that he bears a grudge.
Oh, I hold a grudge. And, yeah. No, but yeah, we've just always sat. I mean, Morecambe and Wise did it. Abbott and Costello did it. Everyone did it. You did it. Yeah. We were, you know. Lee and
well,
Heron.
You had. We didn't do it for, to be right in terms of the name, but we did have our. It did turn out to be that.
Yeah, it happened instinctively.
Yeah, but
we sort of do it so we can remember who we are as well. We did a show once, a Saturday show. It was a pilot. It never got to be a series, and it had Trev and Simon at the back.
Yeah.
And some reviewer said that's because they can't fucking remember who they are. Which is a nice
that was. It was. Nice. I'd like to hold a grudge. I can tell you who it was.
There was me trying to be discreet.
Oh, no. There was Victor Lewis Smith. He said, double act, too stupid to remember what they're called or something like that. He also used the line of, a double act with two straight men, which is...
Well, he was a double act with just one person. He tried to have, he had two names, didn't he? So he's
a triple act.
He wrote a bad review of us as well, so he obviously had no taste.
It was his thing.
No taste. I liked his little foray into TV. Yeah. What happened to him? I wonder what happened to him. He just sat and got bitter at home. It's fair enough. I've been watching you know, from your garden. No, I've been watching you on YouTube today a lot to remind, because we, you know, it's weird. I shouldn't have been watching you when you were on TV, because I was like 20.
Oh, I thought you 25. Meant today.
I should be, because it's only polite. But when you were originally on, I do, you know, I did watch Going Live and Live and Kicking pretty much every week in my early 20s. That's a bit tragic, isn't
it? Crazy fool.
Well, it was. It's not for me to say. It was just I mean, we never, I think because it was on a Saturday anyway, we never kind of thought of it. It was just TV. I mean, yeah. I know it was kids' TV, but we never, other than there being the obvious parameters of what you can't do, you know, we kind of just tried to do what we thought was funny. Yeah. So I don't think it was trying to be. I mean, you know, you most probably, when you did Richard Not Judy, you most probably found there were constraints put on you, even on a Sunday afternoon.
I didn't know we were really on. BBC, no one really noticed we were on. So we did, because it's actually 20 years almost. Someone did an article, because it's 20 years since we started doing This Morning with John Judy and 19 years since we stopped doing it. And we actually, looking back, you know, we did get away with a lot of filth.
Yes.
I think we said, I mean, Kevin Nelson said twat one week, but I think we didn't realise twat was that rude.
Oh, we never said twat.
We didn't go on TV drinking animals' milk.
No,
from
didn't
their
do that.
Teats.
Or saying they're all howler monkeys by the time I'm finished with them. So we didn't really pay much attention, which is probably why we didn't last as long as you did on the television. But what I quite like about you, they're all very funny sketches, but you kind of are always just you with a wig on. They're all different characters. There's nothing wrong with it. I love it.
It's true.
But
it
there's,
true.
There's like, what I like is there's not really even any attempt to differentiate any of the characters.
What are you going to say? We just use the same catchphrase over and over and over now.
Please. Oh, you know, we thought we were actors, you know. We would create a character through going, we go to the
We would create
wardrobe.
A character?
Yeah, shut up.
We'd
go to the BBC wardrobe, we'd root around, we'd find some costumes that made us laugh, we'd go to the wig department, we'd find some wigs that made us laugh, usually with David Jason's name stitched in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it.
It's true. Oh, it was fantastic. In the old days, the BBC did have this place. It was like a whole floor of this tower block in Acton, and it was just packed with like brilliant cardigans.
It's true. There's a cardigan. I've got a cardigan that I wore as the Singing Corner character, that someone on Twitter found a photo of the guy from... What's the name of the actor who plays the butler in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Joseph Marcel. They found a photo of him wearing the Singing Corner cardigan in an episode of Doctor Who. Fantastic.
It is good. We got the very, they sold that place off just after we'd done Fist of Fun, I think. Ridiculous. But I used to, the only wigs that would fit me belong to Alexi Sale, because I've got a very big head, and so has he. So I'd have been a bit flummoxed if I'd have been doing exactly what you were doing. But I think it's interesting with This Morning, Because I was thinking, I've been talking a little bit about it when I've been doing these interviews about it. But I was very kind of influenced by Tiswas and the Banana Splits and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you grow up when you were your sort of same generation?
Banana Splits, definitely. As soon as we got the job on Saturday morning, I hoped we'd get a buggy to drive around in. And in fact, a lot of the time we did try different things to kind of ride around on. But
I was going to say, no, you're right, because I don't think Tiswas particularly influenced us. But I think, because we were kind of... And this sort of went with a kind of, we used to think we were alternative comedy, you know, and we were kind of anti-Gunge. Gunge seemed a bit, you know, rubbish. But what we did do with there was two characters we did who were, it's wigs again. we had these perfect blonde wigs. We were based on the kids from Village of the Damned, you know, the film Village of the Damned. We had these perfect blonde wigs and we were in a submarine. And the submarine door opens, and we're sat inside the submarine, and we go, want a nut? And then the other one goes, well, I go, want a nut?
Yes, please.
And then we open one of the, you know those tins of nuts where a snake jumps out?
Yeah.
We'd open that. That would make us laugh, and then we go all somber, and then the door'd shut on us.
And we'd sit a bit like this, though, didn't we? So we kind of did a bit of acting.
Yeah, we did acting. Yeah. We were acting.
I can still remember that line. Yes, please.
That is acting. He's got no wig
Where's
on.
Where's Trevor gone? Trev, oh,
take your hat off. Take your hat off.
Oh, there
off.
He is.
No wig.
This is why I wear hats now. That's why I wore wigs.
Use your microphone.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I think it's the wigs that did this, you know. That's what we were told at the time. Oh, if you keep wearing wigs, you won't have any hair.
So why has Richard got such a fine head of hair?
Yeah.
Because I was wearing Alexi Sales, there's a bit of room to breathe in there. It's so big.
And now I'm told, well, don't wear a hat all the time because you'll never get any hair. But I'm never going to get any hair back, am I? Although I do have an idea, actually. I'm thinking of going to do a documentary about me going to Turkey to have a hair transplant. Because you can get it done over there now for £1,500.
Okay.
Which is sort of more in the realms of, it's not kind of Wayne Rooney sort of territory anymore.
No, it's okay.
So I might do that, but it means I've got to cry and do all that, and I don't know whether I can. But I don't know. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, really.
Just buy a wig.
Okay. I'll stick with the hats.
But anyway, to finish this off, because it did have a beginning, that was based on the Tarara Bumdia twins.
Okay.
So, you know, in... what was we talking
about? Banana Splits.
Banana Splits.
There you are.
The old age, terrible.
Back in
Banana
the
Splits, they'd open the door and there'd be two girls with banjos or something singing,
yes,
ta-ra-ra-bum-dee, ta-ra-ra-bum-dee. And that was what we... That's why we wanted to do our version of that.
There you go.
It's like the twins in The Shining.
Yeah.
The Banana Splits, I think they had a moment as well where everything used to go crazy as well. And we did a thing on going live, or Live and Kicking, I think it was, called Let's Go Bonkers.
We did two versions of it, because one season. We did Let's Go Bonkers, and we also did Let's Go Nuts.
Yeah.
That's how varied we were.
We had to really fight to call this section "Let's Go Nuts" because they were very strict on things, and it was and there were people who didn't like the phrase "nuts" because it sort of it was making fun of mental health issues.
Oh, really? I thought because of the testicles. Nowadays, it's because people have nut allergies and they don't want to offend them, so it's all changed.
But I think we'd also done a thing called "Every Loony Wins" as well.
Every loony wins, and we also did another one called "Looniversity Challenge."
We did.
And some people said, we argued, oddly enough, successfully, that because the goodies in their day had used the word loony, it was okay to still use the word loony.
Like they're the judgment of it. They're the kind of... the benchmark. The
if it's okay by that. Tim Brooke Taylor.
But Let's Go Bonkers was good because you'd get a celebrity guest and I think it was Let's Go Nuts. We had furry kind of animal print suits on, bowler hats, and we were sat on big plastic monkeys. And it was.
You make me want to see this.
And I have a feeling one of the guests we had it was Gary Glitter.
Yeah. Oh. Do you know what?
And it was
all the way we were talking about this, I was thinking, he's not going to mention that.
Do you think that's what caused him to it all to happen? He came on here, Let's Go Nuts.
Yeah. Listen.
Maybe I will go nuts.
The only thing I would.
Maybe.
Don't mention that. The only thing that the most surreal thing you can find on YouTube is a sketch that we do as a couple of the guys who own the record shop who had the original catchphrase of "We don't do discs." I can't even remember what they're called. The Roberts Brothers.
Yes, that's Robert's Records, yes.
But they did Robert's Records. They did a sketch. And this is on YouTube where we're running the record shop. Pulp come in.
Pulp, yeah.
Pulp come in, followed by Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
And the sketch ends with us and Pulp and Gary Glitter all dancing together.
So maybe it was Jarvis Cocker's fault, not ours. But that was, I remember that one of those Let's Go Nuts or Let's Go Bonkers very badly, because one night all the cast had to stay in a hotel in Shepherd's Bush because there'd been a snow warning, and the boss was frightened that we wouldn't all get in the next day. So the whole cast and tech team and everybody, the whole production crew, that's how I forget television speak, all had to stay in a hotel in Shepherd's Bush. And of course, that was a crazy thing to do, because everyone just stayed up drinking all night, pretty much, having a right old time. And so the next day, I was feeling really a bit poorly, and I was sat on a plastic monkey in a furry suit. And of course, we were elevated then above these very small children who all sat around. And I might be sick on one in a minute. And it was the only time on Saturday morning where I thought that might happen. Thankfully, it didn't. Yeah, thankfully,
but say it did. It's funnier.
Oh yeah, And then I vomited over a small child. Yeah. And Gary Glitter laughed.
Don't. Just, we should never. Oh, you shouldn't have.
It's not our fault. We didn't invite him on.
They no, but it's bad enough. I just about got away with bringing up my bitter Victor Lewis Smith story. And, you know,
you didn't get away with it. He's in the audience. He's going to see you later.
He won't watch podcasts. It'll be fun. Well, I think that's all. Well, so let's talk about how you got together, because it took me a little while to find out how you got together. But then I found out that you were
rubbish private detective.
I thought I was. Then I found out you'd done How We Met on The Independent. And then that didn't work.
Oh yeah,
you
did.
But
that was posh.
So
wasn't
you
it?
Met at the University of Manchester.
Yes,
which. Just before you were there was... Well, but did Ben Elton teach you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ben Elton, he taught me. I don't think you were... Trev was a year younger than
he
me.
He didn't
I
teach
was,
him comedy. That's not...
No, he taught me Greek tragedy.
I know.
But also, so when we were at university, our professor was a guy called David Mayer. And David Mayer was the father of Lisa Mayer,
yes,
who is the co-writer of The Young Ones. And at the time, she was going out with Rick Mayall. And Rick Mayall and Aid and Ben had all been students at Manchester University a couple of years before us. Basically, when we were in our first year at university, our professor invited us to his house to meet Rick Mayall and Ben and Lisa. And we went around to meet them. But we were really incompetent and useless students. And our professor, for some reason, didn't introduce us. We just came into the house, and they were sat around this circular table. It was like a kitchen diner thing. And he didn't say, oh, this is Trev and Simon, or these are two students, or anything like that. And he just went, oh, I'm going upstairs. And he cleared off. But before clearing off, he said to Trev, will you keep an eye on those steaks in the oven? And there was some...
I was a student. I didn't know what a steak was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'll do for about half an hour.
Steaks were under a grill or something. And then the next minute, they catch a fire. The alarm went off.
Yeah, smoke alarm.
And we were just kind of not knowing what to do. And none of them reacted. Nothing happened.
Eventually, rather than that thing of going, oh, what's happening? Oh, are you all right, lads? They just pretended we weren't there and pretended the whole thing wasn't happening.
And then we used to do this kind of daft show, a live show, didn't we? And the next day they came to see us do this live show.
Right.
And they came up to us after us and went, ah, that's why you were there. We didn't know who you were. Oh, you know. And then they were really nice, you know. And Rick Mayall gave us this kind of, he said, oh, we were off up to Edinburgh. It was the first time in Edinburgh, was it? Most probably about 1984.
Yeah.
And he said, here's a quote you can use it on your posters. And he went, my favourite act. So on all of our posters, we had this quote saying, my favourite act, Rick Mayall. And then you go up to Edinburgh and you see, my favourite band, Rick Mayall. But still.
It worked, though.
It did.
Yeah. I ended up watching, because I was going through lots of Going Live and Live and Kicking things, and I ended up watching them... Rick and Aid were being interviewed by Sarah Green, and it was slightly an awkward interview.
Have you not seen the interview we do then? That's even
The interview with us is far worse.
Is
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a lot of, you did a lot of hours of television.
And stupidly, they told us to interview Rick and Aid, and again, I think we were quite young, and we were a bit kind of like, you know, we like to think we were comedians. So we were kind of thinking, why are we interviewing them? And they basically, that's a horrible interview. Okay, well, I've said don't watch it, you will now.
I'm definitely going to
watch it. Yeah, dude, you can sort of, it's cringy awkward, but you know. We thought it was funny because we were both out on tour at the same time.
Right.
I mean, we both had the same promoter and stuff. So we said, hey, we'll do this little idea. We'll have a chat in the coffee bar and then we'll say we're going to have a fight. And we'll end up having a fight in the coffee bar. And of course, we tried to lead them into this thing and then they just completely backed off it. And
we should know this. I mean, we'd be the same. Don't go with other comedians and say to them, hey, will you do this? And expect them to play along. They'll do their own thing.
Whereas Sting, he always played along.
Yeah, but he's not a comedian.
No, I know, that's what I mean. Oh, it's okay with Sting, pop stars.
You called him Stink.
We did call him Stink. Yeah. And we called him Stink, but then they got a bit of a laugh in the studio, and then one of the people who was with him, he had some people with him, and they said, it's funny you say that, because he does stink. No, seriously, and he said he's on one of these
deodorant
things.
The only deodorant he used was a rock. He had a rock he carried around with him.
Yeah. And you know, he always wore those furry mohair jumpers. God, yeah, you know.
Well, if his sex lasted for like 13 hours, he wouldn't have had time for
stink.
A shower.
No, you would, yeah. Take it from me, you stink at the end of that. Yeah.
Don't stand so close to stink.
So how did that go for you? You were doing like pantos and quite serious theatre in Manchester. You were both theatre.
Oh, back in Manchester.
Yeah.
Well, we got into student kind of plays, and we were cast together in a Molière comedy.
Which was artistic.
Yeah. Nice. And that was the first thing we did together, and it was like a two-hander sort. Play thing,
yeah.
And it was a comedy. It was good, and
the very first thing, because that was the was it called something like the Misanthrope or the I can't think what it was called now. Anyway, before that, we'd done another one called A Forced Marriage, which had more people in it. But in A Forced Marriage, Trev, we were both in that, and that was the first time we met. And I'd been running to rehearsals, and I'd slipped and fallen into these bollards, concrete bollards, and broke my ribs. And this, again, first thing we were in, and Trev just found it hilarious to try and make me laugh all the time during rehearsals, just because I was in, I'd been such pain from laughing.
But we had a lot of fun, because although it was like...
You had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I know. Well, you did enjoy it, though, didn't you?
What's that? What does that even suggest?
I don't know. We were laughing. We had a good laugh. Yeah. And we kind of tried to spice up the kind of, you know, classical comedy by putting props and silly props in. So I had some gloves on and did one of those kind of restoration kind of things. But I'd like snipped all the fingers on the gloves. So when I went like that, all the fingers flew off. And that it probably wasn't in the spirit of how it was written, but it was good. It was good fun. And then we kind of just enjoyed that, didn't we? And then the whole alternative comedy thing was going, and like, because you know Rick and Aid and Ben had all been there before us, we kind of thought, it all felt kind of very possible. I don't know that we could even ask.
We remember, I mean, this is a shocking sign of how things change, though, that we couldn't even watch The Younger Ones. We had nothing to watch The Younger Ones on. We had no TV.
Right.
And our professor, David Mayer, he would record them in the departments, in the drama departments of the university, and we'd go and watch them on video there, wouldn't we? And it was amazing stuff.
Things we watched on video at university. Yeah.
Do you remember watching videos? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was you couldn't. I used to tape like comedy off the TV on an audio player because, like, the early. I think probably The Young Ones just about had a video by then, but before that, you would just kick up the 80s. I was recording. Rick Mayall's bit off of that, recording on audio, so I could listen back to it the next day.
Like, fantastic. So you did John Peel and kick up the 80s. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. There we go. Happy day. So what? Not the same now, is it? It's this internet rubbish. Just find everything you want straight away. So how did you get from that? You were doing the circuit.
There was a whole bunch of us who sort of went out and started doing like student gigs for students, and we did a whole combination of things. We were a triple act at one point. And there was a thing called the Oi Boys, which was a satirical skinhead cabaret. Right. And
you should bring that back. Take your hat off. Yeah.
So that was quite good fun doing that. And you did the Oi Boys stuff.
Did I?
Yeah, you did ventriloquism with a sock.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Simon would walk on stage and I remember I went now. I'd leave you on stage.
Trevor, do you humiliate me, leave me on stage, go off, and I'd stand there for as long as I could with nothing happening. Yeah. And it was one of those nice things, you know, where you could just leave it as long as you possibly can. And then slowly I'd take off my shoe and I'd take off my sock. I'd put the sock on my hand and form it into a mouth like a glove puppet. And then doing one of my many actorly voices without a wig.
Without a wig?
I would put on my ventriloquist voice, which was something like, "Hello, how are you?" Something like that. But basically, the puppet wouldn't speak back to me. And it would go on for a long time. I mean, refusing to speak back to me. And then eventually it would attack me. As sort of a, yeah. Hey, it was alternative comedy.
Yeah, yeah. So Simon would end up then rolling around on the floor being attacked by his own sock.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've just remembered, though, I had a kind of second thing of it. So Trevor gave me another go of doing ventriloquism, and I had a little plastic tiger that had a squeak in it.
Oh, yeah.
I would do it with a squeaky. We had this theory, not theory, we had this policy, that when we were working on live stuff, any prop that we used had to be an acquired thing. It had to be a bought thing.
Right.
You couldn't make a prop.
Okay.
Your stuff had to come from shops.
Mainly Ooby-Doo, which was the forerunner of the pound shop in Manchester. But there it was 50p then. Everything was 50p. And there were signs up all around the shop. Don't ask the price. Everything's 50p. So we'd go straight up to the counters. How much is this?
but it was a real kind of thing. We had a real policy of things had to exist. You had to get the comedy from things that existed.
Okay.
If you made a prop for something, that was kind of like failure. That was defeat. And it was tricky for us, because when we did start working on TV, you've got people whose jobs depend on making things for you, you know. They want to make things for you. And so we kind of did eventually relent. We did have things made. But yeah, we'd want to find our own stuff and find what was funny and things that existed.
Yeah. You're doing quite an adult act on the circuit then.
Because eventually that developed into an act that we did on the pub circuit for a couple of years. We did all the alternative comedy circuit. So sometimes it was like a little room above a pub or a vegetarian restaurant or something like that. No, genuinely. And,
what was the place in, you must know.
The Earth Exchange. Which was a tiny room, which was a vegetarian restaurant, and after the people had their vegetarian meal, then there would be comedy.
Yeah.
And it was very intense because it was very, you know, very sort of small room.
What you want for comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we carried on this thing. We were quite fascinated by the double act thing of, like a bit like Abbott and Costello. They were kind of quite mean to each other.
Yeah.
Our double act involved me being pretty nasty to Simon.
Yeah.
And putting him in some awkward situations. So having done the sock thing, another prop we bought was a fake egg, a magic egg, which you could put into your mouth and then produce a lovely silk handkerchief.
Okay.
Which I would do, which is obviously a shit trick, but I would do that. And then Simon said, "Oh, I want to do it." So I'd give him a real egg. And then he'd bite into the egg.
You'd have to break it enough that the yolk kind of flew out nicely so people knew it was a real egg, you know, and then the yolk would come out and then he would make me eat all the egg, including the shell and everything.
Wow.
So you'd hear the shell crunching up. And
That's terrible.
This was when what's-her-name declared a salmonella scare. You know,
It was like I could have died.
I could have died.
It was Russian omelette. That's what it was. That joke's 30 years old tonight.
They come round again, that's
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
Everyone who first heard that is dead now.
But then, I mean, the other thing, we used to reenact films as well. And, in fact, news events as well. And anything that meant Simon would punch himself in the head. And
I ended up when we were so Trevor'd list. He'd get me to do Rocky, and that would be punch, and then it'd be Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. But we did this in Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Festival, when I'd had to go to the hospital with an injured neck, and I had to wear a big neck brace thing and take it off for the show to do all that again and fall over.
And I promise you, I didn't make him do that. He volunteered to do that.
See, I would have said it. I would have guessed he was the high status character if you're going to play. Out of the two of you, I'd have thought you'd be the one who'd be bullied, and you'd be the bully.
No, he's high status. Yeah. He's there, yeah. I have a theory about... I have this theory about double
I'm He-Man.
You're He-Man. Yeah. Yeah, but like, it's kind of like... If one of them is kind of high status in the double act, they're the reverse of that in life.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Trev is kind of... He bullies me on stage, but in reality I kind of bully him.
Yeah.
And I'm the mean one. I'm the
Stuart was in both.
No, I years ago when we met you on Roland Riveron's radio show.
Do you remember?
That was where we met, when Roland Riveron sent us off to the opera.
Oh, it was
to interview the opera.
Job,
and he said, Roland Riveron said to us, would you go and do would you go and see the opera and review it for us? And we said, yeah. And he goes, okay, Gypsy's Handshake. And we didn't know what he meant. And he spat in his hand and then made us shake his hand.
And
what
that
a bastard.
Meant that we had to do it.
Yeah.
So from then on, but it wasn't a bad job actually, because we went to the opera. That was perhaps the most challenging one, but because we were a bit late, but we got there and we enjoyed it. It was all good fun. But then he said, "Oh, there's a new fancy fish restaurant opened up in the centre of London. Go and review that." So and he said, "Take your wives, girlfriends, whatever." So, oh, okay, thanks. So,
but we met you and Stuart on that show.
Did you? I don't remember.
And you very kindly gave me the Fist of Fun book, and I said, "Would you both sign it?" And you both signed it, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I think Stuart put something like, Simon, best wishes, something nice.
Yeah.
And you put, to Simon, you're an idiot.
That's because I was being bullied by Stu, so I had to bully whoever else.
In fact, I wanted to ask you, is you're an idiot something you wrote to everyone? Or did you...
Has that been eating away at you?
Oh, yes. God. I've never, honestly, yeah.
Have you only come on the podcast so you can bring this? I don't even remember meeting you before. So. It was a crazy time back in the 90s. I usually would say something rude. Yeah, but like with me, people ask me to write rude things.
I never asked you to write something rude. Where's the harm in a nice, sincere best wishes? Just a best wishes. Yeah. That's all I want.
Stu was thinking it when he wrote the nice thing. I just said what I was thinking.
We said, hi, Richard, we really like this program.
How come he's not an idiot?
He hadn't bought a book. I'm sorry, I don't think you're an idiot. We'll talk about this then to prove you're not idiots. We'll talk about pointless celebrities.
Oh.
Which is why you're here. This is why you're here, I believe, because I believe on the Richard Osman podcast, we can't remember who it was a choice between, but I asked the audience to vote on whether they wanted to see you.
Well, I heard it that you said, who do you want on, Joey from Friends or Trevor Simon? And
like
here we are.
Sorry, everyone.
Sorry about that. How are you doing? No, how are you doing?
No wig. Without a wig. You did that without a wig.
I did.
That was acting.
Yeah. I didn't tell him, how are you doing? How are you doing? I don't know. How did you say it? No, he just drives cars now anyway. Doesn't
when you take when you take your hat off and do it again.
Who loves you, baby?
It's just that it's a bit more like Matt Lucas doing it.
Oh, I can't do him. Like I could do the others.
So have you done Pointless Celebrities twice?
Three times. We're the only people in the whole world ever who've done the show three times.
I've done it three times.
No, you haven't.
No, you've not.
I have.
You get out of here. You can't.
How?
Because I keep losing, but you keep winning.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's Richard Osman. He lied to us.
Did he? Well, I mean, you might be the first who did it three times.
Who did you do it with?
Okay. I did it with Rona Cameron. We don't want to go over it all again, but she said when she was asked for someone who'd had a number one hit in a solo artist had a number one hit in the 1980s, she said to Pow. That is not a solo artist. That is a band.
Yes.
Oh, that's Dom Jolly.
Even that.
And so that we lost that one because then I had to try and be clever and I wasn't clever. Then Robert Webb, who had to name a country ending in a vowel, I think. And I got a pointless answer.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Screwed up.
Right.
What did you go for?
I went for Tivoli, whoever it is.
Yeah.
And then I was on My Beautiful Wife, Catherine Herring, Katie Wilkins, and she was competent. We got to the head-to-head and lost.
Oh,
right.
So you've won. Have you won three times?
To be fair, yeah. When we got to the head-to-head the second time, it was against Ulrika Johnson. And no, I know that sounds rude, but it is rude, isn't it? I've been rude.
Yeah, but I think she'd agree with you that night, honestly. But it was Simon who won it, really, because he's just got this amazing film knowledge. And when it came to the head-to-head, the first time I messed up, although I don't think that's why we went out, but the first time we were on, I just did something daft. But
not as daft as thinking to power is one person.
No, it wasn't that daft. I couldn't think of an obscure berry, so I ended up saying juniper berry, thinking that was one word, and I realised my mistake.
Yeah,
I did know it was not one word. I hadn't worked. I hadn't thought it through.
It's difficult in the heat of the lights. It's difficult.
But I did learn from that there is an obscure berry called a service berry or something, and a winter berry. I mean,
well, make sure it's right, because if I go on again and say service berry,
avoid berries. But anyway, the next time we did well, and I felt, you know, I the show scares me to death. Chris' show scared me to death. But
I've cried on it twice. I genuinely have.
Oh, really? On the show?
I'm like, when I've been talking, my voice, I've done that thing, I'm going, yeah. When I knew I was going to get out the first time, I was going, yeah, I was trying to talk about what I've
been. Well, you see, again, I only cried in the dressing room. I didn't know you actually cried. Brilliant.
I'm going to say something indiscreet, but not too indiscreet, so don't worry. But like, when we were on it on one of the occasions, and so there's three occasions to pick from here, but when we were on it on one of the occasions, one of the other contestants went to the producers and went, ooh, Trev and Simon are cheating.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, and he said, I saw
them. You've given it away. You've narrowed it down already.
He or she, I saw them whispering, he said, she said. I saw them whispering.
They saw us whispering.
We didn't. That's not. I'll just say that now.
Just for the record.
Yeah.
We did cheat.
We really didn't, honestly. You'd have to be clever to cheat. We didn't even know which position to stand
clever.
In. Richard Osmond told us off.
You don't have to be that clever. When my wife, when it was coming back down, the first one, I thought we were going to get knocked out. My wife said, oh, I know this one. And I went, shut up. I don't want to, you know, I didn't want her to cheat. I wanted to be able to do it. Yeah. But she could have just said, I know it is this. Like, oh yeah, I knew that as well.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Easy to cheat. Imagine winning and having cheated and how that that pointless trophy must feel heavy in your hands. So you invented Don Draper.
Yeah.
From Mad Men. That was your invention.
Yeah, yeah. I played, was it me?
You were Don Draper.
I was Don Draper.
Don and
As
Dougie
in
Draper.
Don and Dougie Draper, the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Why did we do that for a kids' TV program? Why were they? Why would they?
Kids love dry cleaning.
They do. And Don and Dougie had a big dry cleaning machine that they called Queenie, and all the everything would go in, and Queenie was always breaking down, and they had a dream that they were going to go and live in New Zealand, and there was a whole backstory to those. But
I mean, it's basically the plot of Mad Men.
It was Don and Dougie Draper, and they didn't do duvets. That was then. They just said that basically.
Yeah, it was good
a lot,
and they wore wigs, and they were us.
Yeah,
and they were both the same character. They're all the same.
Too far.
It's all that's you could just far. Do. You could just have one of you. If I'd been the BBC, I'd have just said, let's get rid of one of them.
I said, no, don't let him go. He's a mate. I don't want him. And they kept on. No, I said, no.
There was one.
And they said, look, just give him 30% of the money. You take 70, Trevor. I said, yeah. And that's how I explained it to you, wasn't it, Simon?
There was one season. I think it was season. I love this season thing. I think it was. I think it was season 5. They suggested stitching us together.
Yeah, they did.
That's not true.
Yeah, they wanted to stitch us together to make a weird duvet, and we said, well, we don't do duvets. Yeah. And that was that. That's why I got it in there, just the one.
I love all of this for anyone out there who hasn't got a clue. And they're thinking, like, what are they on about? What are they talking about? When's Jess Phillips on?
Exactly, yeah.
That's what I like, but that's what I think is great about showbiz. Showbiz is like a ridiculous con in a lot of ways, right? And it's crazy, and fame is crazy. I wrote a show called Talking Cock that got translated into lots of languages. And then I would go to the premieres in other countries. If you go to Norway and then all these celebrities are coming in, and you go, but that's just a bloke. That guy's just a bloke. And everyone's going, oh, no. There was like an old man who was wearing espadrilles, and he was sitting in a bar with like a beautiful young woman. What the fuck's going on? Oh, he's a big star. It's just like bullshit. The whole thing's bullshit. Everything's bullshit. And you become famous and you can say, swing your pants and people are happy, you know, moon on a stick. So you want the moon on a stick?
Right, getting a pair of
what happened in? What happened in 91, 92? Why did you not do the 91, 92 season?
I can't remember why.
We decided to do an offshoot in the break, we did an offshoot programme called 100% that went out on BBC Two, and it was kind of a youth programme as they were doing then, and we did comedy inserts into it, and it was really good fun, and we did a full series of that. That was a series then, not a season. And we did a full series of that, and then we got, when it came round to doing the second series of it, we had to make a decision as to whether we could do both. And we decided to do 100% instead. And we were writing it all over the summer. And basically, what happened? It's really weird. The BBC made an accounting error and they lost 20 million quid. And I don't know how that happened. And this was that year.
Yeah.
And at the end of, even though we'd spent all summer writing it, they said, we're cancelling loads of programmes because we're 20 million short. And it got cancelled.
Right.
And so we had nothing to do. And they said, well, do you want to go back to Saturday morning? So we'd missed out a year doing that other programme.
Do you remember what the guys who took over from you were in that year?
There were Nick and James.
Yeah, very good. Do you know what they're doing now? Nick's still an actor. I'm a friend with them on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
James is a head teacher who's also a pastor.
Oh,
yeah,
excellent!
I wonder if his pupils know about him being on Live and Kicking.
I thought it was a bit weird that the program decided to kind of just try and replace us with us. You know?
They didn't try and replace us with us.
No, but we'd sort of said to them, if we're not going to be there, you want to have something different. Because I thought it was a raw deal on them.
I think it was a tough break for them, as it turned out. Yeah, it was very difficult. Well, because you were so popular as well, so it was. Yeah, you're right, they should have gone for something completely different.
Uh-huh.
It's a shame. Men in Trousers, I think they were called, weren't they?
No, that was when we left. That was
when we definitely left.
Okay.
When we left, they came on and they were half of the cheese shop.
Oh, yes, okay, that's right. Yeah.
No. So there were three. So yeah. The BBC, having learned that lesson of not getting just two white guys again, went for three white guys.
That would. Yeah, good. Shall I ask you an emergency question?
Oh.
Yeah.
It worked well backstage. I did it on the random app and asked, do you know the way to San Jose? And it turns out Simon's sister lives in San Jose, so he does.
It's just like on Pointless as well. He always has the right answer.
That was... okay. Who do you consider the best of Jesus' disciples? Question 254.
Is there a criteria? What defines best?
Well, it's for you to decide that. Right. I ask the questions.
That's a difficult one.
It's not like Richard Osman. You can't go Richard Osman on Pointless going, how do you define what is Pointless?
I don't know
answer?
That I can well, think Paul, of... Paul must have been... He was quite a clever guy. He wrote
Paul,
lectures, didn't he?
Well, he's not really an official disciple, so, you know.
Is he not?
No.
I'm going to go for Jeff.
Jeff's a good one. I liked Thaddeus best because, you know, you don't hear much about him. He just kept himself to himself.
Thaddeus?
Thaddeus.
Wow.
He's one of the 12.
He was one of Smith and Jones, wasn't he?
I don't know their names. Was that horrible one of them? Who's the guy?
Yeah, Judas. Yeah. Judas Iscariot.
I'm going to go with him.
You're going to like him.
I'll go with him.
Well, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because if Judas hadn't betrayed Jesus, then Jesus wouldn't have been crucified.
Yeah.
Someone we're all fucked, aren't we? He saved Judas, because of Judas, we all live for eternity now.
Yeah.
More than for Jesus, if we're honest.
Yeah.
Jesus had just died in old age.
Yeah.
Gavin his feet washed by Mary Magdalene's hair, you know. Wouldn't have heard of him.
So he was just doing what he had to do, really. Yeah. What about Thomas?
Doubting Thomas, I find Doubting Thomas interesting because he witnessed presumably all of Jesus' miracles, but then he saw Jesus, for example, raise Lazarus from the dead. And then when Jesus came back, he went, nah. But mate, remember when I walked on water? Yeah, but come on.
So really, Doubting Thomas should just be called Thomas.
He should be. Yeah. He should be Stupid Thomas. Or Forgetful Thomas. Do you remember when I walked on water? No. I wouldn't really watch. Do you remember when I had those two fish and I fed like a billion people? No, not ringing any bells, mate. When you said I was the son of God? No. No.
But wasn't he a doubter just in the way that he'd have doubted, say, David Copperfield can fly? That kind of doubt. It's just like, oh, no, Jesus, stop doing these tricks. We know they're all tricks. Stop it now.
Very blasphemous, that, I'm afraid. Very blasphemous. I'll do one more, and then I'm going to ask you about Bross.
Bross?
I went to school with Bross. Have you ever fallen victim to a con man? That's a good question. I have. That's why I came up with that question. Have you ever been conned out of anything?
Well, I don't know. Only when I've been on holiday and I've got tempted to play that game where they're hiding a nut under some shells.
Yeah.
And I've got... It's definitely there.
Yeah.
And because it's not your own money, you think, oh, that's fine. Well, it is my own money, I mean, but it's like not money you recognise. So you're kind of... you're freer with it, aren't you? So you
yeah. yeah.
And you're on holiday and you
there's going to be some left at the end anyway, so you might as well
give
totally
it to
and
you're totally drunk anyway, so you know, and you did. So yeah, that's it. It's under there. And he called me because it wasn't. And I don't know where it was. But
so very much yes is the answer to the question.
No.
No.
You can't con a conner. apart from the time when a guy at a bus station asked me for his train fare and I gave him it and he said, write down your address and I'll send it back to you, and he never did. Apart from that time I was conned.
He might have died on the bus journey.
Exactly.
My God, please give this, do you know Trevor and Simon? No. You know the guys from Life and Kicking? No, not James and Nicholas. Don't send it to them. Not the men in trousers. Send it back to him. So Bross didn't really join in with your funny game because you met like some amazing celebrities through your
like Bross.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. But you made Paul Simon played
Paul,
along.
Paul Simon, yeah, who sadly had diarrhea the night he came on the show. But so again, all the managers are really indiscreet with us. You know, like with Sting and his stink business. They
love telling us these things.
Paul Simon's manager came and he said, yeah, he's not feeling too good. He's been up all night with diarrhea. Just at the point. that he was surrounded by like hundreds of kids with balloons.
And it was his birthday.
So they brought in, because he's American, they brought in a cake decorated with the stars and stripes. And said, "Happy birthday, look, hey!" And kids hit him on the head with balloons. And we wondered why he didn't look so happy, but you know, that was why. Yeah. But yeah, Paul Simon, and
you're listing the people we have done sketches with. Richard wants to know about the ones who.
Well, I'd like to know about. Yeah. I'd like to know all the gossip about them. Who was nice and who wasn't nice. So then.
A quick nice one though. Mel Brooks. We did a sketch with Mel Brooks. Good. And Mel Brooks at the end of it said, "Congratulations, boys. That was almost a sketch." Which I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah. That's. Yeah. But Bros were
the big thing of the time, you know. They were super cool and the girls all loved them, and they didn't really want to look stupid, and so they didn't want to, we asked, you know, everybody, "Do you want to do something?" You know, we didn't make people do it. "Do you fancy doing this?" And they go, yeah, but they just always said no.
And the really annoying thing is we'd written a really complicated sketch for them to do with it. I can't remember now, but it was all about them having a paint shop where they sold Matt Goss Gloss. Luke Goss Matt. I can't remember, but it was just all these different variations of paint they did. And, you know, they should have done that sketch with us. Yes.
Thank God we didn't do it, because we had the trouble enough remembering the lines. Were you trying to remember all that?
Oh. I went to school with Bros. They came to in for 1 year. They lived in Cheddar,
and I thought they were from Peckham.
They are, but their mum, I think, and dad broke up, and then they came to live in Cheddar.
But is this true, or is this?
Is this true?
No, but you're in a double act where we know your other double act half has made a living out of claiming he was a schooler with Richard Hammond. He wasn't, so you know.
He lies about everything, and I tell the truth. It's okay. in every double act. My friend always tells the truth. I always lie. They both got off with Bridget Seeley, who I fancied. Both of them in, not at the same time. No, it wasn't that perverse. It was Cheddar. And they had a fight with my friend Chris Scard. They were a couple of years younger than me. Yeah,
they
ganged up.
They were always. Because
they look like one bloke just moving around really quickly, don't they? That's the thing. When you're twins.
The Proclaimers, they were good though.
Were they good? Were they nice?
They were good twins.
They were the good twins.
Yeah, they were the good
twins. So one twins got both the evil twins, and one twins got both the good twins.
Yeah,
that's really complicated.
And was Kylie Minogue nice?
She was brilliant. Oh, what?
Yeah. No, I'm just, yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
No, she was.
No. She wasn't. No, she was.
The thing is with Kylie, you know, when she first came on the program, they were, you know, she wasn't a big superstar. She was obviously, you know, a pop star, but not megastar. And so the first time she was on the program, we felt we were able to say, "Would you mind being in a cardboard box full of straw?" Because we'd like the idea that you've been in hibernation over the winter, and. And we want to reveal you as being and having hibernated, and so like the Blue Peter tortoise, we need to reveal you from a cardboard box full of straw. Would you mind doing that? And she said yes.
The interesting thing is though, she did that, and then when she came on a bit later on, and she was more famous. And we said, "We're going to do Polly Put the Kettle On, and we've got a kettle to put on your head."
Yeah.
And we had this kettle that kind of had a hole made in it so you could put it on your head. She wouldn't do that because it'd mess up her hair.
Yeah, so she changed.
And I think then it became a bit of a thing because Jason Donovan came on and we wanted him to get into a dog suit because Nigel Kennedy was on playing the violin and we wanted him to play Hound Dog and Jason Donovan to be in a Hound Dog. I don't quite know what
I love. I love the way that when you set this up, you go, "Because," like there's going to be some logical explanation.
Well, I thought there was a because, and then as I started speaking, I realised there was no
Nigel
because.
Nigel Kennedy, there's obviously never wanted to play Hound Dog. His most famous, famous hit.
But the thing was, Jason wouldn't put the whole suit on. He wouldn't put it over his head. Because again, he had lovely hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't want to mess up his hair. Yeah. And he'd got that. Kylie had said, "If you do something with Trevor and Simon, it's okay, but don't do anything that messes up your hair." So he didn't. So he kind of wore the suit kind of half on, half off.
Yeah.
And it was a bit disappointing.
It's really disappointing. Yeah. That's my most disappointed memory.
It is.
And did you all go, it was very rock and roll, did you go out partying with the rock stars after the shows?
No. Do you know what? It's really, this is what I mean. I'm ashamed to admit this, but we were really, really delighted to be asked by the Lightning Seeds to introduce them on stage at the Shepherd's Bush Empire. And because Ian Brody...
It was
Brody,
a Friday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Friday night, so we knew we had the show the next morning. But yeah, so... Ian Brody from the Lightning Seeds was mates with Terry Hall from the Specials, and I was a massive Specials fan, and Terry Hall was backstage and I got to meet him, and it was just so exciting. And we went on stage, packed Shepherd's Bush Empire, introduced the Lightning Seeds. It was really great. And and then we didn't even stay for the after show drink because we've got to get up early for the show.
Oh, we've got work in the morning.
So that's how rock and roll we were. It's a great opportunity. We've had a great party and we just went off to work.
No. So, I like Terry Hall's one of the few pop stars I really love. I met him, he's quite small, isn't he?
Oh, I don't
he was sat down.
Was he?
You've got to get him on here.
I should get Terry Hall on.
I thought he was really tall.
I think he's kind of middling.
I think it's because I tend to shorten names, so Terry Hall tall, and it just stays.
I think Terry Hall has a thing where whatever the height the person he's talking to, he adapts. He's got a sort of telescopic thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember him being about 3 foot tall. Maybe it was David Rappaport I met. I don't know. Maybe it was somebody else. I don't remember much. And you're in a band as well. You're in a band as well.
Yeah,
you're in a band. You played the maracas in the band.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, that was great. No, because I was in a pub.
You're in two bands.
Yeah, well, I was at one point, and I was in a band called Sucker, who were like a kind of pop punk band.
Right.
And we were great. It was really good fun. And we ended up on the John Peel stage in Glastonbury.
Yeah.
It was at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, but we were there, and Simon came on as well and did maracas.
I just got to Glastonbury for free, claiming I was their manager.
Right.
Mind you, I hated Glastonbury.
Yeah,
I would. I just it was just too muddy and wet, and I didn't have the my suit got ruined.
Yeah,
you danced in trainers covered in carrier bags. Didn't
I had to have carrier bags on my feet because I just didn't have the gear. I'm just I'm not.
You got to have the gear, but I didn't. I've been a couple of times. When it's sunny, it's very nice.
Yeah,
and if you're on magic mushrooms, it's great. But when it's rainy, it's terrible.
It's great on just mushrooms.
Just eat some nice garlic mushrooms. They're better. They're nicer. You don't see. I never take drugs, but I did have magic mushrooms at one of my Glastonbury's, and I saw I thought the devil was masturbating with a piece of liver, and that's the kind of experience you can't have in the real realm.
But if you'd been to the cabaret tent, it maybe was going on.
It was just a man stroking his girlfriend's arm.
Right.
Did she have a liver arm?
No, she was an arm was normal.
Oh, okay.
When you can switch between the two. I lay down. I don't really take drugs, so it was very exciting. I lay down and looked at the sky, and then I really felt like the sky was the sea, and I was like thousands of feet above the sea. That was good. That was better than the devil masturbating. That was a bit scary. Thinking, why has he got some liver? I mean, what was that liver before? Has he wanked a kind of cow down to his until there's only the liver left?
Wow.
And you've got...
Is there anything else you want to tell us about?
I tell you about my drug experiences. That's pretty much it. I wish I'd come and seen you when I was on Magic Mushrooms at 10:30 on Sunday. My God!
You'd have loved it when we did our show, The Devil Wanks Off with a Piece of Liver.
Yeah.
Oh, we did! God! No, we did!
Well, we did! We didn't quite. No,
we did. We did a show called The Circus of Evil. And where we resurrected the most kind of notorious people from the past.
Yeah.
And Trev brought up... Trev did this black magic ceremony with a...
We used to perform rituals because I think originally satanic rituals were performed with a thing called the Necromicon, which is like a kind of evil Bible. But we did it by reading from the next directory. So we go.
This is kind of like a shopping book from last century.
Yeah. So I'd read from the next directory and I'd get random people from the audience to pick a page and I'd read out something about a nylon sweater or something and I'd be reading out medium, extra large, whatever. And Simon came on as Rasputin.
We had a fantastic... This was when we'd given up on the idea of things you can only buy in shops with the exception of one prop. We made props and I had... So I came on as Rasputin where I had a pair of glasses with ping pong ball eyes on and a big big cape, and the cape came down, and we had a big hula hoop thing, a big hoop, so the cape was circular, and I had fake arms dangling down, and inside this, I was on a micro scooter, so I could scoot around the stage. And the whole thing about Rasputin and his whole kind of theory was that God forgives sinners. Yeah. So the more you sin, the more you're worthy of forgiveness, which explains Rasputin's behavior. And as he did this, and we had to send off, our poor stage manager had to go to a shop. So we did buy props from shops still. Yeah. And we sent her into Soho, and she just had to buy the most realistic prosthetic penis she could find, and we just had this kind of poking out as I was scooting around. And
it,
so,
it wasn't that realistic.
So it's not that far from your
it's not
experience.
That far. I'm a big fan of Rasputin, so it's exciting.
But sadly, because of that, we can never go back to Jersey because there were protests outside the theatre.
Because
we were doing satanic rituals.
Oh, right, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the irony is the people in Jersey have killed more kids than anyone. Well, so yeah. That's why they don't like it when it just got too close to home. Just, hey, come on, don't take the piss out of this. This is how we stay so rich. I don't think they have the internet in Jersey, it's fine. I was going to apologise. I haven't been there for ages. They used to book me, and then the year that story came out, I did quite a lot of material about. Yeah, that might be it. You got to 68 in the charts in the hit parade together.
Yeah, with Donovan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we were never going to do a comedy single, but our manager at the time, Pete Brown, he was brilliant because he was the one who got us off the telly and said, go out on the road and do. He had this vision of us doing like a kind of old kind of musical variety show, which he did put together, and it was fantastic because we did our show and we had a juggler and there was a band and there was a girl
and
group.
These all gave us a chance to then go off and change into costumes to become different characters.
Yeah, to put wigs on and do a catchphrase. But yeah, so he said, I think you should do a comedy single. And we said, well, no, I don't think so. And he said, yeah, do it, because, you know, do the Swing Your Pants and this. And so we said, well, we went to see the record company, and they said, yeah, do it. why don't you, you know, we'll get a good dance beat going, because it was the 90s, you know, and we'll get a good dance beat going, and you just do your catchphrases over the top. And we said, no, we're not going to do that.
If you do something completely non-commercial.
Yeah.
Let's do our best to make no money whatsoever.
If you can get Donovan, we'll do a record. And of course then, Pete, our manager, said, oh, I know his manager. Yeah, we'll get Donovan.
This was around the time that Harry Enfield did. Do you remember Harry Enfield did loads of money as a single? And it was just literally him sort of going, loads of money, or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, we should have done that.
Yeah.
Swing your pants.
Yeah. Just, you know, should have just done loads of money.
We should. We tried. So Donovan came along, and then the rest is not history, really.
He was nuts. Can we say he was nuts?
Yeah, you can. I think so. You can say anything you like on my podcast.
So Donovan came along, and he turned up to one of the radio shows. We were doing an interview, I think, on Radio 1 about it. And he turned up with his T-shirt, and he painted himself on the front of it. Shelter. And he just, like, really badly painted on the front, Shelter. And he just kind of came along, and he, out of the blue, went, yeah, I'm donating all of my proceeds from this to Shelter. We just thought, you bastard. This is our one chance to make a bit of money, and you're giving all the money to Shelter. And so, like, we didn't know what to do.
This was the day of the video, and he turned up with this sweatshirt with,
And you said to me, fucked if I'm giving anything to Shelter.
You promised you'd never, ever, ever, ever say that.
But then what happened is we did the thing and we went, oh God, we'll give some money to Shelter as well. Not all of it. We'll give some. You know. And anyway, way down the line, Donovan gave nothing to Shelter. He gave nothing. We ended up giving to Shelter. He gave nothing.
But we didn't want, because we didn't want to do one of these charity records. It was like, hey, we're great, we're going to do it for charity. We just said, look, if we're going to do a crap comedy record, we'll do a crap comedy. We'll be honest about it. Yeah.
And you've never liked Shelter.
But I have loved crap comedy. But we didn't want that thing. It's not like a Shelter video. So, the director had to keep doing all these close-ups to try and avoid his sweatshirt.
And then it just looked like Helter. And everyone thought it was Helter Skelter. And then obviously you get all the kind of knock-on things from that.
Oh, it was terrible.
That was a disaster.
Yeah.
Why did you bring that up? Yeah.
Oh, we went on the Philip Schofield radio show.
I said it was a disaster.
Yeah. And Donovan came with us. And so, we just said, look, Donovan, the way we'll make this work is we'll just say we kidnapped you and forced you into doing this and you couldn't. And so Philip Schofield says, so, Donovan, I hear they kidnapped you and you were forced into doing this record. And he said, no, I'm doing it for the poor children who don't have televisions and can't enjoy Trev and Simon. And it was like, oh, no, thank you.
There are kids out there who did have television and can't enjoy Trev and Simon.
That's true. There were many. But they love dry cleaners.
Oh, man, it's very well worth watching on YouTube. It's so inventive and so funny, all that stuff. And you've been working. It's what's lovely is, and you know, this is, I'm meeting too many double acts who are still friends after 30 or 40 years. But you're clearly still, very good friends. I mean, you've been friends all the way through.
Yeah. We live 80 miles apart. It helps.
Yeah. But I don't think you can do it if you're not mates, can you?
Well,
not successfully. Not for very long.
Cannonball. Well, I mean, going back to the thing we were saying earlier about how we were fascinated by double acts who didn't get along. I loved it that for a period of time, Cannonball toured together and refused to stay in the same hotel, so they'd only ever meet on stage.
Yeah. But that's a lot. There's a lot of double acts that are like, I think Little and Large have probably fallen out now, haven't they? And
no.
But like a lot of, are they still friends? Are they?
Well, I don't know, but you're just saying probably have. I'm just sticking up for the fact that they maybe haven't.
I think they did. I think they've fallen out. But like, I think Abbott and Costello, like lots of
those. Oh, God, yeah.
They've died. They're dead now.
Are they dead? Yeah, they're fine. they can come back as ghosts if you watch their films.
They were the original ones who did the 70-30 split. You know, they didn't get, so yeah. So I have to imagine in my head one of them going, Abbott, to remember which is which.
Yeah.
So Abbott is the tall one. Okay. He was the guy who got the raw deal.
Yeah.
So
he wasn't as funny as the other one, though, is he? Yeah. Yeah. You're both equally funny, that is the thing.
That's great.
Because you're literally doing exactly the same thing.
Look. But we did exactly the same thing and have done exactly for 25 to 30 years.
It's so funny. And you've been writing lots of scripts together, and you write for kids' TV still. You wrote, you're not yet?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm doing less writing. Trev's doing more writing. I also work. I have a job. So yeah. I kind of am working. I work at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital.
Oh, do you? That's where my children were born.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Well,
one good. Not the kids. Both kids are okay. one birth experience very good. One birth experience pretty bad.
Oh,
are you anything to do with the births of children?
He's not on bed.
I kind of. So was your most recent child born there?
Yeah.
So you were most probably aware. Was that the good birth or the bad birth?
That was the. Well, it was the more. It was. Very hectic in the in the department on that night.
Okay. Were you aware? This is the wrong question you're asking. When you're talking about a hectic birth of a child.
Yeah.
Were you aware in the hospital of medicinema?
Of what?
Of medicinema. Of there being a cinema in the hospital.
I wasn't. Is that what you do?
That's what I do.
Okay.
So, yeah, I work for a charity that runs a cinema in a hospital.
Oh, lovely. That's good.
And for the paediatric wards, we have kind of, we're showing Coco at the moment, Early Man and whatever. So,
yeah. Well, I can't blame you for the birth of my son.
And that's quite a good charity, unlike Shelter. Which is a rubbish
charity. Nice to help the kids. You know they film Sliding Doors in the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital.
Hmm?
You know the lifts and that's the lift
scene.
Oh,
shit!
We had
a screening today. So I've come from work today. We have on Monday afternoons you have a silver screening, and we had 50% lifts working. They're always
Broken. Doing,
But we had a screening today. It was really hard work. But I have to go around all the wards seeing which patients can come to the screening, and today. It's called a silver screening. It's aimed at patients with dementia and it's aimed at the older patients. I'm going around wards where patients in the 80s or 90s and saying, do you want to come and see Journey's End? It was hard work today. It was a hard sell.
Oh my goodness! We have to leave it. I don't think that's a good point to go.
So. We've reached the journey's end. There we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Simon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You have been listening to Returning to Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Returning, and my guests, Trev and Simon. The music is by Pess. The people I like to thank each week are everyone at Go Faster Stripe, everyone at the Square Theatre, everyone at British Comedy Guide. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker, and this is a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production for the internet. Check out my tour, richardherring.com/gigs. You know you want to come. Why not come and see this film, the Leicester Square Theatre podcast as well. Come on. Get with the programme, dudes.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.